9:30 exactly. Would you look at that? Dang it, I'm getting good at this whole timeout thing. You know, 30, 40 years in the radio industry, I'm finally getting the hang of this.
Yeah, and what? How many years have we done Rewind? It's got to be getting close to, what, probably 17, 18 or more?
At least. I was thinking it was closer around like 2000, 2001, 2002 we started.
I started in 04, so it was after that. Yeah.
But it was shortly after that.
Yeah, because Fred Van Heck was still working here, because I always remember it was the three of us that started this.
Yeah, the show started as, we were going to recap the football games in short little segments and run them on the air and get some sponsors for that. And then finally, we're like, this is a lot of work. Let's just do it for a half an hour straight and call it good.
Yep.
Our laziness led to this show.
It did.
Which has been going on probably close to 20 years right now.
So. Yeah.
There we go.
And you've gotten really good here in the last month of timing it out.
I know. It took me 20 years to figure out what 9:30 is, but I'm finally getting the hang of this stuff here. So anyway, had a little Twitter war with Honnold this morning. Yeah.
Honnold was on Twitter?
Well, no. I shouldn't say. Okay. It was text,
okay.
I should say. So this date, 1988.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Die Hard comes out, right?
Christmas movie.
Not a movie. Not a Christmas movie at all. No. I get this message says, you are wrong. Best Christmas movie since Bad Santa. And I'm thinking, that's a horrid Christmas movie, too. Horrid. I mean, it's a movie that involves Christmas. Yeah. It's not a Christmas movie.
Well, you know, but that makes it a Christmas movie. No. I have to agree with Honnold.
No. Bruce Willis shooting and, you know, doing all that stuff doesn't really scream Christmas at me.
But there's Christmas music in it. There's, you know, there's the wrapping paper at the end where he uses it to, you know, tape the gun. And yeah.
That's the spirit of Christmas right there. Hans Gruber is the Christmas guy in that show. So speaking of Gruber, by the way, we got to wish a happy birthday to Greg Gruber.
Yes.
Greg is 64. Greg, what is the deal? You have not aged in like 20 years.
He has not.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Give us the trick.
I know. I want to picture him back when we started this show. He looked the same. It's crazy.
He would.
Yeah.
You and I were just talking about that. And he's always fun. I always enjoy getting to see him. It's fun when you go into Fairway and he's there and you can give him a hard time.
I love being harassed by Greg every time I walk in there. No, he's a great person.
Absolutely.
And a huge, huge local sports guy.
Yes, he is.
A Kemper fan, of course. So happy 64th to him.
Yeah.
And happy anniversary today. Ann and Tim Fitzpatrick celebrating 47 years together today.
You bet. So, and are they going to be here for the concert on Thursday?
I hope so. One of the members of the band is actually Ann's brother.
Yeah.
So haphazard going to be playing our 47th birthday celebration going on. Now, you're not going to have any games that night, are you?
No. Okay. Tonight will be the last night until next week with the state baseball tournament if Coon advances. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going
to
talk about
hard
that
to believe that it's,
up.
You know. We're almost over. We're out of softball teams last night. The softball season ended locally here last night, and we're down to just the one baseball team. It goes fast.
So we'll get to that coming up in a minute, too. So I just wanted to wish them a happy anniversary.
Yes.
The Big Dumper, is that the greatest sports nickname ever? Cal Raleigh from the Seattle Mariners?
I saw that last night.
I didn't know who the guy was when he signed up for the Home Run Derby.
I knew that he was having a great season because I think he was leading the majors in homers at the time or whatever. Yeah. But I did not know until last night that his nickname was the Big Dumper.
That is maybe a great, great nickname. But his dad was pitching to him.
Okay.
And his brother, who's 15 years old, was catching.
Nice.
For the Home Run Derby last night.
He's
so that's really
a young
cool
guy.
He's got to be. I don't know.
Is he a rookie or so?
Never heard of him.
Okay.
Till last night. I don't read up on Seattle much. I don't read the sports a whole heck of a lot.
Right.
I hear what you say. But the Big Dumper, 38 home runs at the All-Star break.
Wow.
One of the big stories of baseball this year got to be along with the Chicago Cubs. First place at the All-Star break, just a game ahead of surging Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah, wouldn't it? I don't want to say anything bad here, but wouldn't it break the hearts of Cubs fans again after getting their manager a year ago and then they'll lose the division again to the Brewers?
Yeah.
You know, that would be tough to take.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can hold on.
I think so. I mean, Pete Crow Armstrong, that kid just a phenom.
Yes, he is.
I mean, you heard about him coming up, and he first struggled when he got the major leagues. Not an issue because everybody does, but boy, this year he has turned it on.
He has. Yeah. There was a discussion I was listening to the other day of do you put him in the superstar category yet? Because he's putting up superstar numbers, but is superstar relegated to somebody that's been around and doing it 5, 6, 7 years rather than just, you know, half of a season?
Yeah, so he's got to do it for more than the half of the year, but I think he's certainly capable of that. What was he? He joined the 2025 club. 25 homers, 25 steals in 92 games.
92 games.
That is the fourth fastest in Major League history.
Yeah.
Fastest Cub ever to do it. Bobby Bonds, and there was somebody else that did it in 91 games.
Eric Davis,
Davis,
yes,
of the Reds.
Yeah.
Did it in 69 games.
Yeah, injuries derailed that guy's career. He would have been one of the all-time greats if it wouldn't have been for injuries.
Yeah, but Pete Crow Armstrong, keep an eye on him. He's a starting center fielder tonight.
I'm assuming he'll get 40-40. Can he get 50-50?
Not with the time remaining. I don't think that so far this year, because they've only got, 60 games remaining or something.
Okay.
So that would be a tall ask for that.
But he should get 40-40, do you think?
I think so. He's got a reasonable shot at that for sure. And Kyle Tucker, his teammate, also going to be playing the outfield. There's a guy that, you know, the great signing for the Cubs.
Right.
Hasn't gotten the attention because it's been all PCA Seiya Suzuki and stuff for the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah. But, probably going to have to spend a lot of money to keep him after this, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. How about the Tigers? Can they keep it up in the second half?
I hope
they have been phenomenal, and they're running away with the American League Central Division. I mean, the Twins won 13 straight games, barely made a dent in their lead. I mean, it's been ridiculous.
Well, I grew up, as you did, when Sparky Anderson was coaching Detroit, and they had all those great teams, so it's kind of nice to see them maybe have a return to having some success. I can't remember the last time Detroit was this good. So
yeah, when they had Verlander, I mean, they were good.
They were
making some World Series, but they weren't this dominant, I don't think. And, and name three guys on the Tigers.
Couldn't do it.
I know. I love stories like that.
Yeah, me too.
I hope they do continue on, even though they are in the American League Central Division in there. So first half of the baseball season in the books, we get to the All-Star game tonight. How about this stat? 39 days until Iowa State football kicks off.
Isn't that crazy?
Uh-huh. I looked at that the other day. I sent out a memo to all the salespeople because we got some, exclusivity on the broadcast that we can't sell and things. And I said, well, guess what, folks? We're 40 days away from kickoff in Ireland. It's Farmageddon in Ireland.
Why? And I mean, I don't have a problem with them playing in Ireland. Nebraska did it against Northwestern a few years ago, but besides the Iowa game, just because it's the in-state rivalry, the Iowa State-Kansas State's probably the biggest rivalry that they have on the schedule, and you're moving it to Ireland. I don't understand that part.
Let's take 99% of the fans
out of the game,
But at least it's a game of interest around
here.
So
it is, absolutely.
That is pretty cool, and I know they're selling a lot of stuff down there. Also saw that Cytown's kind of going up right now. Their first building is being built after 2 years of dirt work. And it's McFarland Clinic. I don't know if anybody's going to do a lot of shopping or partying at McFarland Clinic there,
but
everything else should follow in about a year after that.
You need that to take care of all the tailgaters.
This is true. That's true. Maybe that should have been built a long time ago, before the bridge.
Yes.
So we had some news locally. State baseball is coming to town next week, and they're going to be playing at Merchants Park, but Merchants Park going to have a brand new name for the field.
Yes. The city council last night did approve, I think it was a 5-1 vote, if I heard correctly, that they're going to name it now Scott Parcher Field at Merchants Park, which I really like that. You know, when you think of Merchants Park and the best park in the state of Iowa, you think of Scott Parcher and what he did with that field and the facility for all of the years that he did it. And I know he never wanted the attention, didn't like being talked about, hated it when we mentioned him on the radio and all of those types of things. But he's got to be remembered, having the field that he kept in immaculate, shape for all of those years. I think that's a great way to do that.
Yeah, that field was his life's project.
Yes.
And it's so fitting that they do name it after him. I hope they put a big sign out. I mean, sorry, Scott, but how did a guy who's so not want the limelight, everybody knew who he was because of that field.
Yeah, the job that he did and the love and the passion that he put into that field, and everybody wanted to come play on that facility and that field. Yep.
every Merchants player I've ever talked to, they are like, that is the best field I've ever played on.
Yep.
And we don't play in front of crowds like this ever.
Right.
So what a thrill for them to get to do this. And the state baseball tournament as well. And we've had lots of fans, local fans, that say, I love it because it's so convenient to get into the stadium and things. Right. And the concessions are reasonable. There's no charge for parking and stuff. It makes it what high school sports should be about.
Agreed, 100%. Yep, and it's really cool. You'll hear teams like, I know Glidden signed a contract to play Carroll High in baseball, you know, a few years ago because those kids wanted an opportunity to play one game over at Merchants Park. And you know, I talked to a few of the guys this year. Win or lose, they cared, but they didn't care, if that makes sense. It was about getting an opportunity to play at Merchants Park. And you see a lot of teams that try to schedule games with Carroll or Kemper so that they can come in and play a game at Merchants Park.
Yeah, it is such a beautiful field. And again, a well-deserved honor, even though Scott would turn it down and not want it. I mean, that's just the way he was.
Yes.
So. But it's fitting that the city paid a little honor to him with all of that. So let's talk about conference realignment. The story came out. You put it out, about a week or so ago?
Yeah, a little over a week ago, because I think we put it out last Monday, and then Mason and I talked about it pretty extensively last week on Rewind.
So. I didn't get a chance to. Yeah. I was gone last week. But, I mean, we've talked about conference realignment. Didn't think this was going to happen this early. Has there been any talk about it since you put that story out?
I have not talked to Randy or anybody up at Carroll High. We were trying to get Randy to come on last week, and then, you know, and I understand Carroll High wants to actually have a conversation. You know, they got the press release on Monday afternoon, and they weren't quite ready to talk about it on Tuesday morning of that last week. So hopefully we'll get them on at some point before the decision's made. But, you know, we talked a little bit last week about, you know, Trainer being a part of that, what's going to happen with, you know, the South teams from the Hawkeye 10. They're trying to keep them, but Red Oak, Clarinda, and Shenandoah have been invited into the WIC. We also mentioned last week that Denison, Schleswig, Harlan, and Lewis Central have been invited to the Missouri Valley Conference, and that's the one that's up northwest with like Lamar's and those teams in it. Found out after last Tuesday that Glenwood has also been invited to the Missouri River, and that's the kind of the wrench that's been thrown into this a little bit. Lewis Central sounds like they're probably gone from everything I'm hearing. It hasn't been voted on yet, so anything can change. But everything I'm hearing is that Lewis Central is going to be leaving, which I don't think the Hawkeye 10 will feel too bad about that.
That's the one school that could leave that wouldn't really bruise the Hawkeye 10 much.
Yeah. Yep. And it's just because they're a big school. They're just bigger, much bigger than everybody else. The one that I found interesting was in talking to some folks when I was up at the game at Lamar's last week, that from what they've been told, and I was talking to one of the school officials that's in on the discussions and stuff up there on Lamar's, that if Glenwood decides to move, then Harlan and Denison will also go. So you could see four teams potentially leaving the Hawkeye 10 to go to the Missouri River Conference. Then if you lose the three that have been invited to the WIC, all of a sudden the Hawkeye 10's losing seven schools. Mm-hmm. And what happens to the Hawkeye 10? I think that's why the Hawkeye 10 is fighting so hard to try and keep Clarinda, Red Oak, and Shenandoah, trying to get Trainer and Carroll, because they want to split into a large division and a small school division and split the conference up, because I think they're trying to stave off elimination. You lose seven schools, and all of a sudden the Hawkeye 10, which is one of the legendary conferences in this state, may not exist, or what direction do they go, you know, and stuff. So I think Glenwood, from everything I hear, holds the key on what's going to happen with that move. And if I'm Carroll High, I know I have a deadline that's been given to me on whether or not, but I sit here and I have a lot of discussions with Glenwood and find out what they're going to do, because if they're leaving and then the other schools go with them, I don't know if I jump into the Hawkeye 10.
Well, doesn't Carroll and Glenwood have a great kind of relationship?
They should.
Through the ADs.
Yes, yes. Randy and Jeff Beeson. Randy, of course, at Carroll, and his brother Jeff is the AD. So they should have somewhat of an idea of what the discussion's like down there.
Inside information. But, why would Glenwood go? Though, I mean, because you're going to be on a bus for a long time. You've got to play at Lamar's. You're going to have to play at, you know, all the schools up north. That's a long haul for your kids. So that's kind of getting back to that whole situation of, would you rather stay a little more local, you know, easier for that stuff? or make that long haul just for the athletics portion?
I think part of it, honestly, John, is just from what I'm hearing is you know, Glenwood's getting bigger. You know, Lewis Central's getting bigger.
Yeah, they're a bedroom community for Council Bluffs.
Harlan is not, and Denison-Schleswig is not, but the other schools are. If you go and move, you're probably going to end up going up against schools that are more comparable size-wise and growing. Northwest Iowa's growing, but if you look at a lot of the schools in the Hawkeye 10, they're not. So you get yourself probably into that competition against schools that are like you are growing.
So you're saying you're joining for 10, 15 years down the road
rather than right now. Yeah, because if you look a lot of just the schools here in our area and the schools in the Hawkeye 10, they're not getting really bigger. They're getting smaller. And, you know, so I think if you're a school, you got to look, you know, 10 or 15 years down the road, where are we going to be? Where's the rest of our conference going to be? What do we need to do to keep ourselves a viable option with wherever we're going to be?
And you're a public school.
Yes.
You know, so you've got that to deal with as well. Yeah, you don't see Harlan winning championship after championship anymore.
No.
It's just not something that's happening right now.
Right. And the schools that are taking over are the schools that are near metro areas and, you know, and stuff. We've talked about that before. So, you know, the schools that and the public schools that are starting to take over, you know, especially A1, A2, A3A, for the most part, not all of it, but for the most part, it's the schools that are within a 20-minute to a half an hour drive of the metro area. So,
yeah, so Glenwood really holds the key, but Carroll's kind of in that unique position of, like I said, brothers as ADs at the two school districts, so they might have more inside information. Any idea of when decisions might be happening?
From what I understand, Lewis Central is supposed to be voting within either this coming week or the following week, so we'll know if they're going for sure, probably. But
like
everything
we said,
we're
expecting them to go.
Yep, everything I hear. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Glenwoods and the Denisons and the Harlins, especially Glenwood, maybe not too far behind that, but I would think that they would have to have that decision done by the fall. And I'll just throw this out there. If I'm Carroll High and those four schools jump to the Missouri River, I might take a peek at going, hey, maybe instead of looking at the Hawkeye
invite.
10, let's maybe look at the Missouri River Conference and stuff. You're going to have really good competition there and stuff. That's if Carroll wants to leave or is thinking about leaving the Raccoon River. So
And then take a look at schools like Atlantic. Where do you go? I don't know anybody wants them.
Yeah, they're kind of in that area it's like, where do they go? I mean, do they get swallowed into the WIC? You know, having conversations with, you know, some people from the Rolling Valley Conference and stuff. If they lose Treanor and possibly Underwood goes and you don't get, you know, the Red Oaks, the Shenandoah and Clarindos, all of a sudden that league could be down to five or six teams. Does the Rolling Valley then swallow in the Avocas of the world and the teams that don't get, you know, the Riversides and stuff, and they become kind of a split division conference where you got the bigger schools and the smaller schools? So I think the next probably 2 years going to be really, really telling on the direction that things are going to be heading.
So I know real quick, we got to get going with some of the games and things like that, but Hawkeye 10, if they do stay together, big school, small school division.
Right.
Does it really work?
I don't know.
Does it work to call it the Hawkeye 10 and all that?
Yeah, well, you know, the Big Ten's got, 37 schools in it now, and they still call it the Big Ten. So why not still call it the Hawkeye 10 and have 18 schools?
There's going to be a big difference between the biggest schools in the Hawkeye 10 and the smaller schools in the Hawkeye 10. Are you going to go out and play them all the time?
Right. Yeah, and I'm guessing what you'll do is you'll play all the teams in your division, you know, probably twice a year and maybe leak out and play two or three teams from the other one, you know, a couple of times, you know, once a year or whatever.
Maybe have
in the
a postseason
sports.
Tournament of your own.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I really believe that within the next year or two, we're going to see a ton of turnover and a ton of movement right here in our part of the state when it comes to conferences, and things won't look the same.
Any chance the Boys Athletic Association steps in?
No.
Not a chance?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they've got to probably stand back and let the schools do what's best for the schools.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how it all shakes out. And
it's
going to start with Lewis Central. And again, it wouldn't shock me for them to leave, but the Hawkeye 10 is not dependent upon Lewis Central.
Right.
It's much more dependent on Glenwood, because if they leave, then you lose a big chunk.
Yes.
Big part of it.
Yep. And everything I hear that the Hawkeye 10 inviting Treanor, Lewis Central doesn't want another two-way school in the conference because they feel like there's too many smaller schools. That's part of the reason why they're probably going to jump, and I think that's part of the reason why the Hawkeye 10 reached out to Treanor, get another small school in here so Lewis Central leaves.
It's fascinating stuff, man. Yep. Love talking about that, too. We're going to talk about the games, the stuff that happens on the field that really matters. That's coming up next on KCIM Sports Rewind.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
KCIM Sports Rewind. It's Sports Director Jeff Blankman and me. We're hanging out today. Mason's sick today, by the way.
Yes, he is. Hopefully going to be feeling better soon.
Yeah, hopefully. He'll be back to work coming up tomorrow. But you got a road trip tonight. You are heading just down to Audubon.
Yes.
Coon Rapids Baird. Are they going to walk down there for that game?
Or they could.
Are they going to take the bus?
They might jog. Yeah, get a little exercise in, get stretched out.
Get a little warm-up in, man. It's just a couple of miles, right? Yeah. Well, they got to take on Logan Magnolia. Yes. Interesting matchup. Tell me about it.
Well, both teams are going to be outstanding on the hill. Of course, you got Cal Hayden and Mason Culbertson down there at Coon, and they're deeper than that, but those would probably be the number one and number two. I'm sure they'll start with Cal and stuff, and they kept him under the pitch limit on Saturday so that he'd be able to go. And then I don't have the names in front of me, but I know it's a cool kid, and a Loftus, I think, is the other one. But Loma's got a senior and a freshman, both lefties that are just been dynamite all season long. Minus one loss to number one ranked Underwood. They've hardly given up more than three or four runs in any game this year. So their pitching has been really good. They can put the bat on the ball well. So this should be a really, really good pitching matchup. I had my weekly interview with John Waddle yesterday, and I kind of told him, I'm like, you know, this could be a 1-0, 2-1, you know, 3-2, 3-1 type of a game.
It could be a 90-minute game.
It could be, yeah. Now, I'm probably jinxing myself, and it'll end up being, you know, 17-15 and that type of a thing.
About 18 innings of work.
Yes, yes. But, you know, these two teams are so good on the hill that it's just hard to see either team having a lot of success. So I think whoever scores first tonight is going to have it be in a really good spot, because I think you put a lot of pressure on the other team to try and create something.
So, state tournament on the line, man. You got to win this one. I mean, yeah, just let it all hang out here in tonight's game. So that's going to be a lot of fun tonight. That'll be on KKRL, 6:45 tonight, 7 o'clock. You'll have the first pitch call on that. Last night you were down, of course, in Van Meter.
Yep.
And the Bulldogs, I mean, they built a great program down there. But Xavier Elkhorn, Kimbleton, Audubon has been rock solid. They technically, it was the first meeting between the two, but Audubon met them up last year.
Yeah, almost the same group of kids for Xyra, Corn, Kimbleton, Audubon. Played them in the state championship game a year ago and stuff. So it's the same program in a way. But, and I'll tell you what, I talked with Tom Peterson after the game and the post game, and I told him up until the bottom of the fourth, I thought the Spartans were the better team out on the field, even though Van Meter's the two-time defending state champions, ranked number one and stuff. The Spartans came out last night with no fear. And they outplayed Van Meter, and I think had the number one team on their heels a little bit. They chased their ace in the third, and then they had to go back to their ace in the fourth because the Spartans were having some success against their number two, and they throw 2 8th graders, and they're both really good, but they're young and stuff. And Riley Miller was kind of on cruise control. But Van Meter comes in averaging about 10.25 points per runs per game. And eventually the bats got going a little bit. A couple of defensive miscues. Spartans had two errors in the fourth and then two more in the sixth. They're up 3-1 going into the bottom of the fourth. And they give up four runs. I think three of them in that inning were unearned. They fall down 5-3. And I asked Tom in the post game. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without sounding bad. I'm like, but I just got the sense that you guys were playing with a lot of energy and a lot of confidence. And then that four run bottom of the fourth happened, and it just felt like the air went out. And he goes, yeah, he goes, the air completely went out of the dugout at that point. And then they gave up, you know, a couple of more errors in the bottom of the sixth and gave up four more runs. All of a sudden, they're down 9-3 and end up losing 9-4. But the final score certainly doesn't indicate that was a 5-3 ball game going into the bottom half of the sixth inning. So that was a really, really good game.
Yeah, Riley Miller pitched great, but you know when you see a pitcher three times in a game, four times in a game, you've seen their pitches.
Yes.
You can adjust as a hitter.
Yeah,
and it kind of sounds like that's what they did.
And they did. And Van Meter hits the ball really well. They had a couple of home runs last night, and I think she ended up giving up seven hits total, which isn't bad against a team that is scoring 10.25 runs per ball game. But I mentioned it yesterday to you. They just couldn't have any miscues because this is a team that can score quickly, and that kind of got to them as the game was going on. But they kept battling out a run in the top of the seventh, but just fell a little bit short.
Yep. So unfortunately, no local teams once again at the state softball tournament going on. The Raccoon River Conference, they still dominating in Class 3 and A and 4A and stuff?
They are. A lot of those games will be coming up tonight, so I'll have to dig through and see how many teams actually advance the state. But yeah, they're clearly with ADM and Winterset and Bondurant and, you know, North Polk and all of those schools down around the Des Moines-Carlisle. They're always going to have a lot of success at this time of the year. So one kind of a side note here, and it's probably more for me. Jim Flaw is the great coach over at Carlisle that's won all those state titles. He was at my high school when I was in junior high. He still remembers me for some reason. I don't know why.
But you're hard to forget.
Yes, but he still remembers me and my two older brothers. But James Flaw is the head coach at Van Meter, is his son. So I finally got a chance to talk to James last night, and he goes, yeah, that's my dad. He goes, the funny thing is we were just talking about your high school earlier today.
How bizarre.
Yes.
So softball season has come to an end for us anyway. State baseball is next week. Odds that CRB gets it to the state tournament. Is it 50-50?
I feel really good about the game, but I tell you what, the WIC is tough, especially the top four or five teams in that league. So both teams have done an outstanding job of challenging themselves. I'll give Kuna like a 60-65% chance to win tonight because I think they're probably the better team, but it's pretty close to a toss-up. This Loma team's very, very good, so it's certainly going to be a challenge, but when you get to the sub-state, what else would you expect? You should have to play another good team to get to state.
All right, so before we get to the Rewind All-Star Game, I'm going to give you the trivia question that I forgot to give you earlier when we were talking about the first half of the
baseball season. I was hoping I could get away with not having to do it.
You got no Mason for the current knowledge to bail you out.
Yeah.
Actually, this is one about history, so there you go. Terry Francona made history last Sunday, being the 13th manager in Major League Baseball to reach 2,000 wins. Now, he's coached how many other teams? He's coached four teams.
Boston, Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's with the Reds, of course, now.
Yeah, there's three. Here's the hard one. Here's the one I did not remember.
I'm trying to think of where was he in. Where was he at before Boston?
1997 to 2000.
Okay.
He took over the Red Sox in 2004.
He took over four. Okay. 97. I honestly don't have an idea.
The Philadelphia Phillies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember him being there, but that was one of those weird ones. Like, Terry Francona coached them. That was his first coaching stop.
Right.
And didn't go great for him.
No.
I was shocked he got another chance with the Red Sox.
Right. And then had a lot of success.
And then Cleveland and all of that. So, all right. So that's your trivia question. Let's talk Rewind All-Star Game before we get out of here.
Yeah. It's coming up this Sunday again. I'm going to post some more details about it hopefully tomorrow. And again, it's at the Carroll High School softball field. I've had a few people ask me that. It's at the Carroll High School softball field. That's the one that's kind of in between Merchants Park and the Aquatic Center.
Mm-hmm.
The event will start at 11 o'clock. Gates will open up at about 10:30. We're going to have a home run derby for all of the kids that were invited, and we sent out those invites, and I posted that list last Sunday, so a week from, 2 days ago, so about 9 days ago. So we'll do 10 pitches for the baseball boys and 10 pitches for the softball girls, and that's with real softballs. I thank Alexis Obermeyer from Exiro Corn Kibble at Audubon. She's going to come up, their pitcher last year. She's going to come up and throw the, kind of the toss in there for the home run derby, so we thank her for that. After that, and it's hard to know start time because we don't know how many kids will participate in the home run derby and how long it'll actually take. We'll do a slow pitch all-star game for the baseball boys, And then we'll do a slow pitch all-star game for the softball girls with the relaxed rules from the state and from the NCAA. Yep. Now we can let everybody that's been invited participate in the games, where before it had to be seniors. So now we don't have to play the baseball boys and softball girls together. We can split them up.
Well, you just say everybody grab a glove, run out to a position.
Run out to a position. Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah. And if we have more than nine out on the field, we have more than nine out on the field. We just want the kids to have fun. Then we'll do our award ceremony after that. And I'm typing up some stuff about all the kids. That's going to get posted to the website after the event. We won't read that at the event, but we'll announce our first team, second team, honorable mention, player of the year, and coach of the year at the event. So as the kids are being acknowledged and the coaches in the award ceremony, they'll mm-hmm. find out then which team in which position they're being honored for, and they'll get their shirt and certificate. So
very cool. It all starts 11 o'clock, you said, this Sunday?
This Sunday, yep. And I'll get some more details and everything. I had posted it all last Sunday. That Sunday we announced it, but I'll get all those details and a few more things posted probably tomorrow. I'm working on finalizing who's all going to come and play in the games so I can get the rosters put together for the All-Star games. So
yeah, it's great that they're letting all the kids play now.
Yes.
Because it was just kind of like a drag to say, well, you have to sit this one out because you haven't graduated yet or something like that. So I'm glad they changed those rules. And one more thing to note here, that Merchants, last week of their regular season, they've got Sedalia in town Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are all 6:30 start times. And Sunday is their finale before the Mink playoffs start on the 21st. But Sunday, it's 4 o'clock start time at Merchants Park. That is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week.